life. And what we're going to talk about, we've talked about going through the word purpose as an acrostic. And we talked about the fact that you had to prioritize the values that matter most to you. And you had to understand how God shaped you, what he gave you to do, and how to resolve to live the rest of your life fulfilling his mission and establishing a personal mission statement. Anyway, we're to S. We're to S, okay? And S stands for strengthen the skills and habits and relationships that you need to sustain your mission over the long haul. Life, you know. There are basically three phases to making this work in your life, this purpose-driven life. You have to design what it is that you're going to do in your life, your life mission. You have to launch your life mission. And today we're going to look at the third one, which is maintaining, how to sustain your life mission. Most of us are excellent at beginning things. Wouldn't you say that's true? It's the follow-up where we start falling apart. At least I'm speaking personally now. Perhaps that's not true of you. So we need to develop the skills and the habits and the relationships that sustain our mission in life. So circle there in your outline, skills, habits, and relationships. Got to have those three things. So this morning, I'm going to speak to you about skills and habits. There is this verse in Ecclesiastes 10:10. Read this with me, will you please, out loud? Here we go. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. I have to tell you that I've read that verse for years and never quite understood that. Because it appears to me that if the axe is dull, no matter how you do it, it's still going to be a dull axe. Isn't that what you get out of that? But what it actually says, because I looked up some other translations, and what it says is, in the Message, the duller the axe, the harder the work. We all agree with that. Don't we? All of you woodsmen out there? Sure. Okay. But he goes on and translates it this way. He says, use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. And to use your head means sharpen the axe. That's what it means. Sharpen the axe. All right. If you practice something long enough, you get good at it. See? Repetition is the mother of skill. Skill. Skill is formed by good habits. We often make the statement, practice makes perfect. It is not true. Practicing it perfectly is what makes it perfect. If you practice it incorrectly, you just keep doing it incorrectly. So habits, the habits that we develop are something that we do over and over and over. And habits produce skills in our lives that help us to be good at things. Successful people, we're talking mainly about the spiritual realm here, but successful people simply develop habits that unsuccessful people refuse to develop. That's simply what it is. Now, so there are four essential skills and six habits that I'm going to give you this morning. Some we're going to take more time than others. But when you do these things, you can be certain of success in your spiritual life. Four skills, six habits. Are you ready? Nobody over here seems to be ready. Are you guys ready in here? Oh, just checking. All right. Here's the first skill. I must master my moods. Oh, boy, we start right off, don't we? I must master my moods. This is one that gives us the hardest time. This is the one that defeats us most often. Have you ever been there where your moods have run your life? Oh, sure. And the problem is that we know what to do, and we We know even how to do it, but the fact is, we know also that we ought to do it. But what don't we do? We don't do it. We must master our moods. Have you discovered in your own life that your good intentions, even your best intentions, aren't good enough? Have you discovered that? Yeah, nobody but me, I guess. Okay. You have to master your moods. The greatest enemy of your life mission, living for God, the spiritual life mission that we've talked about, the greatest enemy of that life mission is this. It is procrastination. Say it with me. You know this word, procrastination. That's right. What is procrastination? It's putting it off. Delay. Yep. I know what to do. I know that it's good. I know it will help me. I even want to do it, but I'm going to do it, you know, later. That's procrastination. You put it off. You have to master your moods. You've got to get in control of your feelings, your moods. Here it is from Proverbs 4th chapter, 23rd verse. Read this with me. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything in your life. Yep, guard your affections. Be careful about what you decide is attractive to you. Let's read this from Proverbs. The next one. Read it with me. A man without self-control is defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Well, you understand that the term man is not necessarily gender specific here. He's talking about everybody. But we are defenseless, you see, when we have no self-control. And you know that's true. You've seen that true in other people's lives if you have not experienced it in your own life. That in those areas where you lack any kind of self-control, you are defenseless. So what these verses are saying is that you are at the mercy of your moods. You don't know how to control your emotions. How do you do that? How do you control your emotions? Wouldn't you like to know? I mean, we love them when we have good emotions. We don't want to control those. But when we are down, when we are feeling badly, when we all of that is happening, how do you control your emotions? Well, you have to develop two very important habits. Are you ready? Number one, develop the habit of acting before feeling. Acting before feeling. I know it's a little puzzling. Let me see if I can help you. You see, our feelings will come about a situation, a circumstance, people, whatever it is. Our feelings will come. But if we wait for our feelings to tell us what to do, we will usually act in the wrong way. You should make your decision on your actions based upon what you know is right, and the feelings will come later. Feelings will come, but you've got to act. The key is do it now. See, do not wait until your feelings, your emotions, those insecurities, those resentments, all that stuff you have in there boil to the surface, and that becomes what motivates you, because your actions are not going to be good. So you have to learn to develop a habit of acting before feeling. It says this in 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter. Read this with me. It says, let your enthusiastic idea at the start be equaled by your realistic action now. Circle action now. Do it now. Do not wait to see how you feel about it. Don't delay. Get moving. If you're going to master your moods, you've got to understand that motion, action, creates moods in your life. Motion, what you're doing, creates emotion. You believe that? You're not sure. You're looking at me like that. I know. But the fact is that your physical body actually has greater power than your emotions. You can control, you can actually force your body to change your emotion. Skepticism, I see skepticism. All right, let me give you an example of this, all right? Here, I want everybody to set up straight in your chair. Set up straight, okay? Get in good posture, okay? Take a deep breath. Let it out. Now, put a big grin on your face. Big grin. Come on, some of you, you look like it hurts. Come on. Big grin on your face, okay? Now turn and look at the person next to you. Big grin, hold it there. And laugh at them. Yeah. And as you are laughing, I want you to think, ha, 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 I'm terribly depressed. See, you cannot do that. It just doesn't work. You can change your mood by breathing and by posture and by facial expression. You cannot think, I'm depressed, with a big smile on your face. You just can't do it. See? Say, it seems trivial. No, but it works. Your body overcomes the thought and creates the mood. If you want to change your mood, the first thing you've got to change is your actions, even if you don't feel like it, even before you feel like it. Don't wait until you feel like it. Just do it. And you will see that your moods will follow. Excuse me. It's easier, listen to this, it is easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. And it's better, too. You see, if you start acting the way you want to feel, you have a much greater chance of feeling that way. Psychologists call this the as-if principle. Okay? But really, it's just faith. It's really just faith. See? Believing in advance. Then the feelings come. But you believe first. So the first habit is, if you don't feel like it, go ahead and do it. Feelings will come. It's an amazing principle. It's taught in God's Word. It's for us. Number two, you need to develop the habit of affirming God's Word. Affirming God's Word. It says in 1 Peter, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. So how do you do that? How do you prepare your mind for action? Well, you do it by affirming the trusts and promises of God in your mind. Bring it in here, see? And you take those words and sayings of God, those scriptures in the Bible, and you put them in the first person and you just pray them back to God. Things like this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not God. It is not God's word that says, I can do everything except this. Doesn't say that. All things through Christ who strengthens me. We sometimes quote it here. This is the day the Lord has made. What shall we do? That's what we do. See, we affirm God's word in our life on along. In other scriptures, I am more than conquerors through Christ. More than conqueror. Most of our problem is that we feel defeated. And yet we have promises that we are more than conquerors. So you simply take the word. You affirm the word of God back to God. Because moods are created by what you focus on. What you are focusing on is what's creating your moods. And if all you are focusing on is all that you do not have and all that is not going your way, if you are focusing on that, that is the mood that you will have. And no wonder you feel discouraged. It says in the Bible, as a person thinks, so is he. It makes a difference what you think about. Tremendous difference. The quickest way to change your life is to change the way you think. First step is to just pay attention to what you're thinking. Pay attention to it. Notice it. Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, he said, let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Romans 12:2. You're transformed on the outside by changing what you think on the inside. We live in a negative world. I'm here to tell you, this is a negative world. Most of the information you receive is negative information. And the more you listen to it, the more of it you will receive. The reason you need to affirm the truth in your life and the positiveness of God's word is because you are constantly receiving bad news all the time. What we receive is bad news. Let me tell you something. They didn't find the airplane yet. You say, what airplane? Malaysian Flight 37. They didn't find it yet. Still on the news, still coming. Bad news, bad news, bad news all the time. It's a terrible thing. Paul talks about affirming God's word. And in fact, Paul models this. He shows us how to do this. He says in Philippians 4:13. Here, you can read this out loud. It'll be good for you. Here we go. There is nothing I cannot master with the help of the one who gives me strength. Circle the word master. Excuse me. Master. Is Paul just kidding himself about this? No. He's exercising faith. He is affirming the word of God. He's spending his time talking about all the help he's got instead of thinking about all the disasters that are around all the time. How come everybody's picking on him? He didn't think about that. The next skill that I have to acquire after learning to master my moods is I must learn to maintain my focus. My focus. Now, I understand that there are varieties of, you know, people. I mean, I understand that some of you stay focused almost automatically and do not understand people who are not focused. On the other hand, there are the rest of us. And focus is always a challenge, see? But it is a thing that I must learn to master this. Concentration and single-mindedness are the second key to success. Not allowing yourself to become distracted in your walk with the Lord, in your Christian life, in your relationship with God. It says, Luke 9, read this with me, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying to us, don't get distracted. Just don't. Just avoid it. Fight it. The problem is, of course, that it's very easy to get distracted. See? Friends, let me tell you. Let's visit this going home experience we have at the end of church. Okay? After listening, for instance, now I've been in this series now for about 6-7 weeks on the purpose-driven life. And I nearly always have given you some kind of assignment to do during the week, see. So, you listen to the message and you say to yourself, well, that's right, I need to get my act together. I'm going to do the assignment that Les says. And you leave, you get up and leave, you go out to the parking lot, and onto the road, and you're already distracted by people on your way to the car, getting in the car, getting out of the parking lot, trying not to run over somebody. You go home to eat, or you go out to eat, or you go do something. I'm sure it includes eating. And you get home, and you have a little afternoon nap. You watch a little NASCAR, TV, football, whatever it is. And suddenly, voila, it's Monday. There we are, see? And the week has started. And then the next thing you know, the week is gone. Okay? And you're back here on Sunday. And I'm saying to you, did you do it? And you're saying back, did I do what? And the answer is no, I didn't do it because I was distracted. How do I deal with this? Well, the answer is number 3. Develop the habit of reviewing my life. Reviewing my life. I'm talking here about regularly, maybe even daily, see? Not a big deal, but it's an important deal. Each day, I sit down and I review my life, my values, from my value list and my goals, my life mission statement. I look at all those things. I look it over. Look at my schedule. Review it on a regular basis. It says in 1 Timothy 4:16, read this with me, keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. Circle the words, close watch. Keep a close watch. It says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, check up on yourselves. And he's asking us to do this on a regular basis. And the reason we do this is we need to ask ourselves questions. We have questions for us. And the question, for instance, is, am I doing what I say is important? Or do I just say it's important and don't do it? It's easy to forget what's important if you don't review it on a regular basis. Know where you're going. Seriously, look at your life. You need to conduct a daily review of your life. Don't have to spend hours. Don't even have to spend 15 minutes, but you need to have some time there when you conduct a daily review. I don't know of anything you could do in your life that would make a bigger difference than that, where you just take that moment, those moments out of the day, and think about what God has done for you. Think about what you want to do for Him. Just go through it, your values, what's important to you. So there are two or three things that you do in this little short time that you spend. First thing is, number one, you review your goals. That's one of the things you do. Here's what I've said was important. I have to remind myself, because the enemy of my soul will come along with a whole different set of goals for me. You know that's true. So I ask myself, where am I compared to where I want to be? You know? Do I need to make some mid-course corrections here? I'm not doing it. See, I'm not targeted. Number two, in that checkup, I need to remind myself why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because of God's grace toward me. I'm doing this because when I serve the Lord, I experience joy. When I don't, I don't. And I need to read God's word. It says in Psalms 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Yep. So you need to make a list of verses, just like we talked about earlier. And there's lots of them around. But you need to have those verses that speak to you. You need to read them over again. You say, well, I already know them. No, you don't. Read them over again. Read them to yourself. Read them out loud. It's a matter of putting those up there. It's like a plumb line a carpenter uses to get the wall straight. We put ourselves up there against that plumb line of God's word. We can see whether or not we're still vertical, whether we're still doing what God wants us to do. Now, the third skill I have to acquire is I must learn to manage my time. Proverbs 12:11, read with me. It is stupid to waste time on useless projects. That's Proverbs. That's from the Good News Translation. It's about the only translation I could find where the word stupid was actually used. I kind of liked it. It is stupid to waste time on useless projects. Be aware of time wasters in your life. One time a man came to Jesus and Jesus said to him, come and follow me. And the man started making excuses, said he couldn't come right now, would come later, had this, he had that, he had appointments, you know, all the rest of it. Jesus is saying to us, do the things that count in your life. Don't waste your time. Don't do the things that don't count. Make your life count. It'll help tremendously if you can develop the habit of scheduling my values. Number four, I need to schedule my values. You look at what's important in your life to you. I know you've been over this, see. We've been talking about it now for 6 or 7 weeks. Look at what's important to you and put that on your schedule. Because if you don't put it on your schedule, I can guarantee you there's a multitude of people, an entire world, that's waiting to give you something to do that is not what you want to do. Most of the time we find that we make up a to-do list or a schedule and we fill it what other people want us to do. Okay? You have to learn to schedule your values. Your fourth skill is I need to maximize my talents. We talk about that. Our spiritual gifts, my heart, my abilities, my personality, my experiences, all of those things are things that God has given uniquely to each one of us. The more you use those things that God has given you, the bigger they get, the stronger they are. How do you do that? Well, you need to develop a habit of lifelong learning. You need to just keep learning, you know. It says in 2 Timothy 1:6, read it with me. Fan into flame. Wait a minute, just a minute. Sorry. Are you ready? Here we go, all together. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. He is saying, make it work. You have the ability to make it work. And in Proverbs 19:8, read it with me. Do yourself a favor and learn all you can, then remember what you learn and you will prosper. Well, learning. See, I understand about that. I learn a lot of stuff. It's like I told somebody one time that we were talking about. I said, I know a lot of stuff. I just can't remember it. See, well, he's telling us you need to remember it. And the way you do that is by every day sitting down and checking out what you have learned. The challenge is to keep growing in your life. Write down what you're supposed to do. Make a life journal. It's pretty good. Not a diary, but a life journal. You know, as you grow and you progress. You need to write it down because we forget 95% of what we hear in 72 hours. Unless you take notes today by Wednesday, see, you've already forgotten 95% of what I've said. Just how it is. It's depressing to hear that for a preacher, but it is true, and I know it. But if you write it down, you can review it. And number 6, develop the habit of lifelong service. Okay, let's read from Timothy, shall we? 1 Timothy 4:15, all together, here we are. Put these abilities to work, throw yourself into your tasks so everyone may notice your improvement and progress. Everyone may notice your improvement and your progress. I mean, really, that's all we've asked, isn't it? A little pat on the back from those around us? Well, maybe not, but it's good. Understand this, lifelong service is called ministry. Ministry, see? And every day you ask yourself, what can I do for somebody else? How can I help them? How can I make a contribution to somebody's life today? It may be people you know, it may be people you don't know. It may be situations where they'll never know that you helped. That's the point. You can ask yourself, what did I learn today? You know, the way you develop your talents is through ministry and service and giving. One day, this is what the Bible tells us, one day you will stand before God, as will I, and he is going to do an evaluation of how well you and I accomplished our life missions. It talks about this in 1 Corinthians 3. So let's read this together. You'll need to know this, okay? There's going to be a test. The quality of each man's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If it survives, he will receive a reward. But if it burns up, he will lose it. Here's my fear as your pastor. See? My great fear is that you are going to get to the end of your life and say, well, I started right, but I never really mastered my moods. They yanked me around all the time. I didn't really finish. I didn't really keep my focus. I got off track, you know. I had a tendency to major on minors in life. You may even be able to say, I made a lot of money, see. But I didn't get my life purpose under control. So the question is, what is it that determines the quality of your life? Your skills, your habits, your relationships, your commitments. Those four things determine the quality of your life. The question is, what are you committed to? Have you even made the most basic commitment to Jesus Christ? The bottom line is this. We say to Jesus, Jesus, you made me. I owe my life to you. You died for me on the cross. So the question is, what are you waiting for in making that commitment in your own life? You need to make this most basic commitment of opening your life to Jesus Christ. All the rest of it is just technique. You start out with the presence of Christ in your own heart, in your own life. And then you study and begin to discover his plan for you. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps you sustaining what you're supposed to be doing. Let's bow our heads. We're going to bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you have never made that commitment to Christ, I encourage you, plead with you to do it right now. Just ask him into your heart. If you're somewhere in the middle of this process and you need help, ask him. He will help you. You have trouble with focus or moods, all of those things. Bring them before the Lord. Be honest about them. He will help you with these. So, Father, we come to you right now and we thank you for all the power and the resources you have given us. We are filled with the promises that you have made to us. Dear Lord Jesus, help us each one right now to turn our life completely over to you. For those that are here this morning that do not know you, have not made that commitment to you, may they at this moment say something like this in their prayer to you within their minds. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sins, and I am sorry for not paying attention. Come now, Lord Jesus, into my heart. I give you everything. I take my own plans for my own life off the table, and I'm waiting for you to fill me with direction. Come in, take over my heart. Let me find the way by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Give you total control and commitment. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I hope that was true of you. I hope you did that. All right, we're going to have the presentation of your tithe and the giving of your offerings at this time. Those of you that wish to give an offering to Seraphim, just write on here Seraphim or S if you can, or choir or girls or you want one there, and put the offering in there, and we'll see that they get it. Okay? If you filled out a yellow card, we appreciate it. We have prayer requests. If you'd like information, we'd be glad to give it to you. Just put it in the offering plate. Want to remind you that, let's see. We will be having an art show next Sunday after the morning service, and if you have artwork, there's going to be a setup about 8 o'clock Sunday morning here, and it'll be during Cookie Sunday. It'll be fun. Hope that you'll participate. We'll have 5 o'clock service this evening, and like that. Are you ready? What happened to the grin? Where's the grin? 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 Where's the grin? Smile? Oh, okay. Thought we'd lost it forever. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the way you fill us with your abundance. We pray as each one gives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Florine. We appreciate it. Shall we stand, if you would, please? We want to thank Seraphim once again for coming. And for those of the family members who brought them, we welcome you and we thank you. We will pray for you on your tour. Everybody okay? All right. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. You never fail us. I ask for your blessing upon every home represented here, whether it's a home of one, or two, or three, or many, whatever it may be. Help us, dear Lord, in this coming week, in this afternoon. Help us to lift you up in all things. Be surrounded by your presence. We will not be defeated by those things that would separate us from you, but we will be lifted up in your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless.